Testing.
Welcome to Bring Back the Family. I'm looking for the birthday lady, Deaconess Kathy Fireburn. But I don't hear anything.
I think she having some technical difficulties. So I've just opened up the studio, and I have you, and I think I see Jackie Vandegrift.
Oh,
so
okay.
You're right. Till she gets past whatever it is. You guys have the agenda?
I have to find it, but I'll have it in a minute. Let's see. There we go. Okay. Welcome. Welcome, welcome to Bring Back the Family. Our host, Kathy Clyburn, is having technical difficulties today on her birthday. So I, Rebecca Johnson, and Jackie Vandegrift will move forward with this evening's show. Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth so that they will become good, productive citizens and be the kind of people that will make contributions to others all around the world. All they need is a good foundation. And that foundation, as parents and community, comes from me and you. Someone did it for us, so we must do the same for them. Wake up, everybody. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead. So what do we propose to bring back the family? We propose to do it block by block. Do something for the youth on your block. We were given what we needed to make it, so we should know what we need to do for the next generation to have what they need to develop into good, productive citizens. So we have our co-host, Ms. Jackie Vandegrift, and tonight's topic is Bring Back the Family, Block by Block, to discuss family support, community service, gifts, and talents, and put the spotlight on students who are applying for scholarships with the 100 Scholarship Challenge. Jacob Ribron will announce and keep record of the students who have applied for the scholarships in hopes that they receive scholarship awards to pay for college tuition, books, and responsibilities. What does family support look like concerning our youth and their educational future? We will talk about community service and how we can get our youth involved with helping in the community. We all have gifts and talents to be used for God's purposes. What are our youth's gifts and talents? Are we paying attention to what our youth will do in the future with their gifts and talents in order to make their contributions to the world? This Bring Back the Family show is dedicated in memory of Tim Jones, Timothy Jones, Mr. Tim, a community leader and servant of God. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. So before we go any further, let's dedicate our time to God with a prayer, with a scripture and a prayer. Ms. Jackie Vandegrift, are you there and ready?
Oh, yes, I am. Thank you.
Of
welcome,
course you
everybody.
Are.
Welcome, everybody, to the show. And as we said, there are technical issues this evening. I do have Mr. Jacob's paperwork that he was going to speak about. For some odd reasons, I was not able, he sent me his work and I was not able to email it back to him because I had a few technical issues as well. So starting out with the prayer, Romans 12:1-13. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your body to God because of all he has done for you and for me, and let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen. All right, Ms.
Amen. Jacqueline. Amen, Ms. Jacqueline Vandergrift. Thank you so much. That
you are
was
so
lovely.
Welcome.
As usual, so articulate, and I love that scripture. Okay,
yes.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and King of Kings, we love you and praise you and thank you for your
generous grace.
And mercy. We thank you for all the gifts we have received from you. We thank you for every answered prayer, for every blessing and all the provisions. We thank you for your presence, your word, and your armor. We are grateful that we serve a God that is loving and kind and good. We thank you, Lord, for waking us up again today. We know this means that your plan for us is not completed. Thank you for new opportunities to serve and earn heavenly treasure. We thank you for good neighbors. We thank you for every hand that helps the production of this show. We thank you for all those who will participate and for each person listening to Bring Back the Family tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you know all things, and you care for and guide us. We thank you for your patience with us as we fall short daily. We ask that you
hear us.
We ask that you turn all our troubles into testimony. We ask you, Lord, to continue to show us your favor. Cause us to be obedient and do all that we can to help children. We ask that you cause each of us to know our natural and spiritual gifts. Lord, we ask for the wisdom to do the thing you put us here to do in a way that pleases you. Because we know that we can do nothing without you, we ask that you help us to desire to do your will in bringing back the family. We ask for all these things with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. So our topic is community service, gifts, talents, and scholarship spotlights. So what does family support look like concerning our youth, students, and their educational future? I can only speak on my childhood, which was in the 70s. Back then, family support looked like clothes to wear, eat, a household of stability where I could count on certain things to happen regular. Both my parents worked, although the marriage dissolved. Both were equally in my life. Both put emphasis on learning, doing well in school, and becoming independent of the family. Several members of my family, including aunts and uncles and cousins, were paying attention to me and making mention of the things I was gifted in. I had one openly praying grandmother, and she would take us to church. I enjoyed it mostly for the dressing up and the dancing, but seeds were planted in me, and even though those seeds didn't sprout for 2 decades, and she has gone on to be with the Lord, I thank him for those seeds and her prayers all the time. So I have a list of 10 things you can do if you're young and you're looking forward to being grown and moving out, but you don't know your gifts. So discovering your gifts and talents is an important step toward personal growth and independence. Here are some steps a young person can take to identify their gifts and prepare for moving out and being on their own. So step one is self-reflection, and thinking is hard work. I recently read that thinking and mental work requires more energy from the body than physical work. So do this work. Spend time thinking about your interests, your hobbies, and your passions. What activities make you feel the most alive and engaged? What are you naturally drawn to? Make a list of these. Reflection on your past experiences and accomplishments can also help you to identify what your gifts are. So what tasks or projects have you excelled in? And what have others praised you for? Then also consider the things that bring you joy and satisfaction. Sometimes your gifts are closely tied to what makes you happy. So that's number one. And number two is to try new things. Be open to trying new activities and experiences. This can help you find hidden talents or interests you never knew you had. Join clubs, organizations, or communities related to your interests. This can provide you with opportunities to meet like-minded individuals and gain new skills. Number three, seek feedback. Ask friends, family members, teachers, or mentors for their perspective on your strengths and talents. They might notice things about you that you haven't recognized. Don't be afraid to ask for constructive criticism as well. Understanding areas where you can improve can also guide your personal development. Number four, assess your skills. So I went on a search to find free personality career assessment tests, and I found a few. So the first one is at jobtest.org, And I tried that one. I took it, and it did give me a list of careers that could potentially fit me, and I thought that it was pretty accurate. And then there's the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator 16 Personalities Test. You can find it if you type 16personalities.com in your browser. I just took that one too, and it was very enlightening. There's another one called VIA Character Strengths, and you can find it at viacharacter.org/survey. I think you'll find it there. I think I took that one too. And then there's a third one, a fourth one. It's called the Enneagram Institute. And Enneagram is another personality typing system. And you can find that one at eclecticenergies.com/Enneagram test. And then there's another one under Big Five Personality Traits. It says to put Big Five Personality Test in the browser, and you can find that test to help you. And then also, don't forget about our church website, Spiritual Gift Assessment. If you go to Runner for Christ, rfcm.org, which stands for Runner for Christ Ministries, click on Bible Classes, then click on Spiritual Gift Assessment. This assessment will give you the answer to which gifts you are strongest in. So when you're using these resources, remember that they provide insights into your personality and strengths. Self-awareness is a continuous process, and these tools can be helpful for self-discovery. Consider your mental and practical skills. Are you a quick learner? Are you a problem solver? Are you particularly good at specific tasks or subjects? Which brings me to the fifth thing you can do if you're a young person and you're looking forward to moving out, but you don't know what your gifts are. You can consider pursuing education and training. So pursue formal education if it aligns with your passions and career goals. Sometimes it can lead to fulfilling professions. And then this number six is volunteer and intern. So that is in alignment with our topic of community service. So volunteering and internships are excellent ways to gain hands-on experience in various fields, and they can help you discover what you enjoy and excel at. And if you find that you don't like it, you can quickly drop it. But that's education about yourself that you just got. You found out that XYZ doesn't agree with you, and so you can move on and try something else. Also, when you finish an internship, you will get a letter of recommendation. And those letters of recommendation can really help you way down the line after you finish school. I mean, after you finish your internship, and you can move on to a paying career position using the accolades that you got from the letter of recommendation that you received at the end of your internship. And letters of recommendation are also good when you're looking for work. Volunteer and intern. So additionally, these experiences can expand your network and connect you with mentors who can offer guidance. And as you go along seeking out what your gifts are, you also want to be collecting wise counselors. So if you happen to meet someone who has wisdom like Ms. Jackie Vandegrift or Sister Kathy Clyburn, you want to keep those people in your life and consider their advice when you're choosing careers and what your next move is, because if you are younger than 26 years old, your brain is not fully developed. You're still growing, and even though your body may be fully developed in an adult, your body has fully grown into an adult, but your 21-year-old or 22-year-old brain is not finished growing. So you want to lean on your wise counselors. So I'm almost done. Let's see. Number 7 is set goals and experiment. So define clear goals for yourself based on your interests and your talents. So experiment with different projects or ventures to see what with you the most, and be open to adjusting your goals as you learn more about yourself and your abilities. Number 8, keep a journal. Maintain a journal, digital notebook to record your thoughts, experiences, and self-discoveries. This can help you track your progress and identify patterns. Number 9, embrace failure. Number 9, embrace failure. Don't be discouraged by setbacks or failures. They can be valuable learning experiences that help you refine your gifts and build resilience. Pastor Sarah Tate says, failure is learning. It is unavoidable. Everyone fails. Number 10 is seek guidance. Talk to mentors or career counselors who can provide insights and guidance on how to develop your talents and choose a path that aligns with your gifts. So discovering your gifts is a lifelong journey. I know grown people who don't know their gifts. Be patient with yourself and stay open to new opportunities and experiences. Wait for doors. Watch for along the way. So those are the 10 things that a young person can do if they're looking forward to moving out, but they don't know what their gifts are. So,
Ms. Johnson, I think that's wonderful. But as you were reading, though, that list, I think that the welcome package that the young youth will receive from Bring Back the Family, I think that should be included in there, because sometimes you need something to read to look back and reflect back on. So when they get ready to go off to college and the welcome package from Bring Back the Family, I think that should be on the cover page. Because it's so much valuable information, and it would really help our youth in so many ways. And not only the youth, like you said that you took the personality quiz yourself. I've been the one with the 16 personalities that some youths were, with Jacob, they're working with him. And it had, and you know what, after he did the assessment, it really keyed in on some things that he really didn't know about himself.
Okay, so that's perfect.
Mm-hmm. So that was good. Some very good information.
Miss Jackie, can you guys hear me?
Oh, I can hear.
Happy birthday to
Kathy
Clyburn.
Oh, boy, I don't know what happened over here. I can hear you guys, but you guys couldn't hear me, and then I couldn't hear you, and oh boy. So I finally got connected, and I am just so sorry. I wanted to, you know, talk about our Mr. Tim, you know, so it'll all tie in with, you know, the community service and everything that we were doing. Where did we get? Did we get to introduce what the show was about?
Yes,
you did the introduction, but we haven't said anything about Mr. except that the show will be dedicated to him, so it's perfect timing.
Okay, great. So we talked about Bring Back the Family and what it entails, a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we as parents and community need to do for our youth, kids, and our children, educationally, professionally, spiritually, just being totally in tune and involved in every aspect of their learning and life. In order for our youth to be good, productive citizens so that they are able to contribute and to be a contribution positively to society and others all around this beautiful world. And what we propose to do, Bring Back the Family, propose to do this block by block. Do something for the youth on your block. We were given what we needed to make it, so we should know what we need to do in order for the next generation to have what they need to make it. And so we say do something on your block for the youth. If it's just, you know, get reading, giving them some books, giving them some information, starting a book club. Anything that you got when you were coming up as a kid and it helped you, we should know what the next generation needs, and just leaving something for the next generation. And so with that, Mr. Tim, and our show is dedicated in the memory of Timothy Jones, Mr. Tim, community leader and servant of God. You know why I say that? Because he was just that. He was a community leader. And he didn't just start being a community leader. He was a community leader way, way back. And he has been my neighbor for roughly 30 years. And so we lost Mr. Tim, and we had his home going this past Saturday, which was just so beautiful. It was the most beautiful service. And they sent Mr. Tim on in proudly and just in good, godly fashion. And like I said, Mr. Tim was my longtime neighbor. And he stood for leadership. We had a block club back in 1997 called the Horace L. Sheffield Block Club. And we would go around and clean up all the vacant lots and things like that and get all the kids in the neighborhood and the community together to go and show them and give them a sense of community and how to clean up and keep where they live and be proud of it, to keep it clean so that they could be proud of where they live. Mr. Tim, you never had to ask him anything. He was always there to help. Excuse me. He was always there to help at any and every time. Long time there, Mr. Tim was like, he was a gentle giant, a giant and very gentle, very soft-spoken, very loving, very kind. With Bring Back the Family, block by block, I didn't have to ask Mr. Tim to get involved. Once he saw what we were doing, he came right out and started to help. The kids on the block loved him. When they heard of his passing, they went right away. They were very emotional, went right away to his porch. They lit a candle. They put flowers on his porch, and they held hands and they prayed. And, you know, because Mr. Tim carried himself in such a beautiful, quiet, professional manner. And so he gave our youth something beautiful to look at, Mr. Tim would help with our cleanups on our block. to make sure it was clean. Like I said, he was part of the original United Citizens of Southwest Detroit, and they did a lot of things, a lot of information, a lot of resources, and we were always, he was very concerned about what was going on in the community and would always have information to give you for whatever you needed and whatever was going on. He would keep you abreast of that, and we would talk for hours and hours about all the concerns that we had going on, all the issues. And so, like I said, Mr. Tim was a dedicated helper around here. He would take the young adults to work. If you were stranded somewhere, he would come and get you. You know, it didn't matter if it was sleet, snow, hell, or what. If you called Mr. Tim, he was dependable, and he would come and get you and help you out in whatever way that he could. He would take the young adults and take them to work. And when he would come and take them, he would dress the part. He would dress professionally. He'd have on a nice crisp shirt, a nice crisp pair of pants, you know, his fancy shoes on, and he would get there on time, and he would make sure they would stay on time, because he would get there early, at least a half hour early, and make sure that they would be on time, and he dressed professionally, and this is what they saw. And he was just a beautiful example of someone to look at, for our youth to look at, to see how he conducted himself and the way that he dressed and everything, just professional at all times. I have a lot. There's so much I could talk about Mr. Tim for a long time. Even at his services, and they said so many beautiful things about Mr. Tim. I wanted to speak, but after I heard everybody speaking and saying what they said about Mr. Tim, I didn't have to say anything. He said it. They said everything that I would have said. And
wow.
Everything that I would have said, they said it. They said it. He truly was a leader and a servant God. They talked about that he would come to church, be there at 9:15. He was a Sunday school teacher, and he would be there on time to open up the doors of the church every morning on time for years. And he would even let you know, in a good way that, you know, he told someone that one of the ministers that Miss So-and-so did say that that we needed to be on time when we serving the Lord. And so that was a way of telling the person that you need to be on time. And that, you know, everybody kind of chuckled on that. yeah, he was not a loud person. He was very quiet, very soft-spoken. And they said when he would do his services, his Bible class, he wouldn't go over a three in his voice tone. So you would have to be listening. He was very soft-spoken. He wouldn't go over a three. And so that made people, you know, chuckle. He said, and the minister said that he read everything from the Bible, and he was faithful. They said he was the best deacon that they had. And some of the deacons got up there and said that they knew they wasn't that great, you know, but they did give him put him on a high pedestal. They really did, because he was obedient, and he was faithful, and he was on time all the time. I should have learned that, you know. I try to be on time. And one of the ministers, this is what really touched me, because it talks about family, because he was a family man. He had three brothers and a sister, and he's from the community of E-Course, and he was all about family. They used to go out and eat together and fellowship together and go on trips together and things like that. And so one of his classmates said, and he was one of the ministers at the church, said about them going to school from elementary all the way to high school together. from elementary all the way to high school. So there were relationships, friendships built all those years. And he was saying that out of all those friendships, relationships, after that they would get together after once a month and meet somewhere and still fellowship then. Even and the class reunions that they had every year, they were faithful to go to that. And all his classmates were at his services, and they were just, you know, there for it. It was just like, you know, like brothers and sisters. And so with that, he was saying that nowadays the youth don't know their next door neighbors. People don't know their next door neighbors. That kids don't have relationships anymore. They don't even have friends. And they don't stay in the same schools anymore. They move from one school to the other and even move their homes, you know, from one home or neighborhood community to the other. And there's no relationship being built. And so I thought that was just so cool because, you know, that was family. That's how it was back then. And I could relate to that, and that just really warmed my heart, you know, and that to see them all together and loving one another, and was there to support Mr. Tim. You know, we call Mr. Tim on our block Mr. Tim because that's what we used to do when we were coming up. We had to say Mr. or Miss, and so in order for the kids on the block to be respectful and have that respect that we were raised with, that's what we call one another. He was Mr. Tim to everybody. And any adult on the street, they recognized them as sir or mister. And that's who he was. And one day someone called him Tim, and he said, wait a minute. Now you call me Mr. Tim. He told him, he said, now you call me Mr. Tim. Don't call me Tim. You know, I'm not your friend. I'm an adult, you know, and he let him know. And that was it, you know. And so, yeah. And then they talked about Mr. Tim not having any, you know, no drama, not getting in any kind of altercations with anybody or being a person that's just out there fighting and arguing. Never had an argument with anybody. Just a peaceful young man. And, you know, I looked at Mr. Tim as my brother. He lived next door, and I felt protected with him just being next door. I felt protected because he was a man. That's what men supposed to do. They're supposed to protect you. And I felt protected, Mr. Tim, because he had my back. And so Mr. Tim left a lot of examples for the young people to look at and look up to be somebody to look up to. They are, you know, on our block. We're going to forever miss Mr. Tim. Because he was top-notch. He was a top-notch gentleman and just a beautiful community person, beautiful neighbor, and come from a good family, a beautiful family. And it really showed at his service because it was cars from here to just, you know, everywhere, people everywhere, and they came out to support him. Okay? And that's what I wanted to say about our good old Mr. Tim. We're going to miss him. Hey, I got another two pages full that I would love to say about them, but it'll take me to this show, to the next show. Yeah, so just all those things that, you know, he left something for the next generation. He did. He left something for the next generation because he left a mark. A lot of people are going to miss Mr. Tim because they depended on him for a lot of things. You know, his brother said that he – his brother said that he would whatever some things that his mom would let him do, that he would let him do. He would be the person that, you know, would sneak him or let him go out late and protect them. He said he brought him his first car and his mom wasn't ready for him to drive or whatever like that. He stayed out late. Tim was his protector, and that's who he was. He was a protector. And I just loved all the stories that I heard. You know, it just kind of tickled me and warmed my heart. Because I was like, yeah, Mr. Tim let them do that, you know, because Mr. Tim was like an upstanding person. He not going to let you do nothing wrong, but he protected his brother. He knew that his brother was going to be all right, and he was helping his mom raise his siblings because they lost their dad at a young age. And he just, you know, took over. He stood in, yes. So that's what I want to say. I just thank God for his life, and gonna always keep his family in prayer. And we just thank God for Mr. Tim's life. Community person. He left something for the next generation to remember and to look up to. And hey, and that's what Bring Back the Family is about, leaving something for the next generation, being a community person, a community leader, somebody that can help, that you don't have to ask to help. You don't have to, you know, do any flips or anything like that. They're just always right there to help. You don't even have to ask. And so we are going to forever love him. Just, hey, thanks for that. Yep. So anybody listening, if you got something you want to say about Mr. Tim, you are welcome to do it. You can press 1, and you can, you know, have something, if you a comment or if you want to say. But, okay, yeah, go ahead. Thank God for his life.
Yes. He sounds like an exceptional, rare person.
He was. And, you know, he never – and I got to thinking, I said, Callie, Mr. Tim – I read this book. One of my friends had me read a book because she thinks that, you know, I just don't know how to say no. But I know how. I just, you know, don't know how, I guess. And so I got to think, I said, Callie, man, Mr. Tim, he never said no. Never. I never, ever remember him ever saying no to anything. Yeah. It was always yes. It was always I'll do it. And, you know, he was in human services. He was a social worker. And in the human services, you know, human services is basically volunteer work, you know. And it's something that you love to do because you'll do it for free. Yeah, he loved people. He loved kids. He loved seniors, and that was his work. He worked with seniors. He worked with kids. He worked with people in the community, and he did that very well because that was his gift from God. You know, and he did that gift. He worked that gift and that talent till the day he left here. Yes, he was still trying to help the best he could. He would walk, and he would take the neighbors and young adults, like I said, to work. So he worked until the end. Yes, he did. So God bless him. Thank you for his life. Okay, that's it. Long live Mr. Tim.
That was truly beautiful. And you know what they say, it's the line in between the time you were born to the time you leave. And you can leave a legacy like that of love. Mm-hmm. And you are a true example of what God is asking us to be.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's a whole lot. And see, saying no, you're not saying, when you don't say no, you're saying that's what God wants.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes, that's it.
That's it. So we're not trying to please man or woman. We are trying to please the word of God, what God perceives, and show our spiritual gifts through the love that we give back into the world. So I know today is your birthday, and we're not going to hold too long, so I'm going to, because I wasn't able – I was having technical problems also, so I wasn't able to get this to Mr. Jacob, so I'm going to read it as if I'm Mr. Jacob, okay?
Good deal.
And this segment here is College Spotlight. Greetings to Bring Back the Family. Miss Kathy, host, Pastor O, Biblical Perspective, co-host Miss Johnson, Miss Pierce, and Auntie Jack. That's how he put it. You host, Shania Cox. I am Jacob Riffron, youth host. Welcome to the show, College Spotlight. is designed to embrace our journey from the front door to graduation day. Our next journey must be a planned path. It takes a village to get us across the adult road to success. Shout out corner. Hats off to Alexis, who applied for the Barbara DeVandy Scholarship. Miss Stephanie from South Carolina. There's a difference in ages with these two people. Also applied for this scholarship because the Memorial Scholarship was 6 winners will receive $10,000 and will be paid to the school. 5 winners will receive $5,000. And this is a scholarship for young people, but it was for females, for women, young ladies and of all ages, no age limit, that had some challenges in their life. And it was something to help you get a token and $5,000 to give you for a scholarship. That's a great thing to help you with your books. You might need a computer. You might need transportation to school. You might even need boots on your feet to get to school. But the thing about it is somebody knows that before they left here, they wanted, or their loved ones, because of that person's character, wanted to give back. And they have this scholarship, and they're offering it. And the deadline was what, Ms. Kathy? Was it the 21st? So deadlines are very important.
Yeah, it was the 21st, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they will know who will win in October of this year. So it is important that we meet all the requirements and include the, including deadlines. Some of these scholarships are starting out and they have deadlines. And if you don't get it in, you will have the opportunity. There's no guarantees that you are going to lose.
Right.
There's guarantees that, that, like they say, some people say the bottle is half full. Some say it's half empty. But guess what? There's always something in the pot. And you never know when your name is going to pull because it's based on your true heartfelt story. And some of our young people today, they have some challenges that we did not have with two parents in the household. Like Ms. Johnson stated earlier, and I'm going to speed it up, that her mother and father were both in her life. That's major to a young person, okay? So let me move on real quick so we can get past the O on. It is, okay, for the deadline, scholarships coming up, now the Coca-Cola scholarship. Now, that one was from August to October the 2nd. GPA for that one is a 3.0. Now, they have some selected colleges that they like to give to, but who is to say that they won't select the college you want to go to? Chick-fil-A awards 12 total, total of 25,000. There's an Obama scholarship. Culver, Olinky, Carleton scholarship. That's O-L-I-N-I-K. I might have pronounced it wrong. But they award $2,000. And the deadline is September the 30th. Congratulations, Jacob, for filling that one out. Now, mm-hmm. Microsoft, the tuition scholarship covers partial or full-time tuition for one academic year. But the GPA has to be 3.0 accumulative. And there are, like, Best Buys, there's Costco, there's Kohl's, there's Dan Gilbert for people in the city of Detroit. Some of these scholarships are for different states, But mainly what we are doing and the goal, what Jacob is saying here, we together can help our seniors to push for applying for 100 scholarships. What they're saying is that whatever you do in the massive, if you write down every scholarship that you do and you are consistent and you put in for 100 scholarships, how great are your chances to have your education paid for? As my coach would always say, crumbs make cake. So if you get enough crumbs together, you will have a big slice of cake or sometime a whole cake to take you for a full ride. So
that is
thank
good.
You, yeah, thank you, Mr. Jacob. And keep up the good work and spread the word through your other high school students, parents, grandparents, churches, everybody involved. Please, please, once we get everything where you can see it on the website so you can go in and meet these deadlines and get these applications done. Because if you're coming out of school, and guess what? If your child is not coming out of school this year, but next year or the year after, still write them down. Because these companies plan on being around for a very long time. So let's get to it. Thank you, Mr. Jacob.
Thank you, Jacob Ribron. That was excellent. And congratulations for the scholarship that you applied for. And I want to tell everyone, don't tell yourself no. Let them tell you no, and they might tell you yes.
That's a good one.
Very good. Very good. Wow. I hope that more, you know, if you know somebody that's in school, just graduated or want to go back to school, let them know about these scholarships. You can reach us at 313-658-4995. Go to our website, bbtfus.com, and leave a message. But you could call directly, 313-658-4995, and be able to get the information for these scholarships. So can you imagine, like Ms. Jackie was saying, what'd you say about the pie, Jackie? A 100 scholarships. So if you apply for 100 scholarships, you're going to get some money out of all those scholarships. You're going to get something. You might get maybe 100,000, 100,000, maybe get 50,000, maybe get 10,000. Okay? But you put them all together and add it up. What did you call that pie?
Oh, crumbs make cake.
Uh-huh.
But you know, crumbs make cake.
Crumbs make cake. Right.
Mm-hmm. Let me say something to the parents, and this is something I learned listening at the school. These scholarships are sent directly to the school. But guess what? When your child wins this scholarship, the school has to let them know that your child is attending class. So there's
That's
somebody
good.
Helping you out to make sure your child not out there partying.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have to, right now, FAFSA loans and grants, they have to give them a list of every class the child attended. They have to go to school now to get money. So you got somebody helping you, especially your child is away in school and you praying every day that, hey, Lord, cover my child, keep your shields around my child from the north to the south to the east and the west, circle their whole body. Well, guess what? The Lord made a way for these scholarships and federal money and grants is saying that you have to be at school in that class participating in order to keep that money. Okay, that's all I have to say.
All right,
if I
good deal.
I'm going to send you happy birthday, but I can't sing.
Well, I can look. I got a house full of youth. Right now, they done bought me some flowers and brought me a car. You probably heard them in the background. I've been trying to stay muted, but yeah, they're hanging out. I guess they want to have a little get together, you know, before I go out, if I go out. Yeah, so they bought me some real pretty flowers, and that is so sweet of them. So yeah, and they brought me a nice card, so that makes me happy. Bless their Lord. Yeah. Mhm. Yeah. So they done ganged up on me. I didn't hear you.
What's your zodiac sign,
girl? Yep. So they're here, and they had to get their party in, so that's good. Okay. So yep. Good information. It was a lot of information, and you know, we can never get enough of these topics and the information that they offer. Let me see. So, yep. I just want to keep Melanie, Chris, and Michael Jones in prayer. Jones family, Mr. Tim's family. Yeah, and I did want to say, too, that Mr. Tim was going to be doing tutoring, some math and algebra tutoring with the fellas around here. And, boy, we're going to miss that because he was getting ready. He was brushing up and had all his books ready and about to help with the tutoring. And, you know, that's what we need. You know, if somebody's doing something on your block, help them do it. Just dig in and help them do it, because that's what Bring Back the Family is about, block by block. Do something on your block. And if somebody starts something on your block, just dig in and help them. You know, help them. Whatever you can bring to the table, whatever talent and gift God give you to help, then do that. Do that. It's a reward in the end for it, a reward. And, yeah, you want to get those treasures in heaven. And that's where the greatest reward will be. Okay, so we just thank God for him. Yeah. Well, just Mr. Tim, he did a lot. He was he played the drums in the band, and he ran track. You know, some of those things I didn't even know. I know he came over here and was showing my little fella, 2-year-old, how to play the drums. And that's when I learned that he, you know, was playing the drums and knew, you know, had some skills going on. Yeah, so I'm going to miss my neighbor. Yeah. So I'm just glad that, you know, I was able to speak about him, because he did, he was a good contribution, a good productive citizen, and that's what we want to, you know, that's our goal, to make good productive citizens. Yes, yes. Okay, so Pastor O, always there for me, always the backup, the help out. I don't know what happened with these phones over here. I got two phones now, and they still, both of them were still just doing their thing. I'm just going to have to go spend $1,000 and get an iPhone, you know.
You know me, I just converted. I finally converted to the smartphone, and you know, I still got my flip phone though on standby. As soon as this thing goes nuts,
it's probably better. But,
you know what I mean? But they can be a bit, you know, they just kind of do what they want to do sometimes. Really do what they want to do. I knew immediately something was wrong when I called in. I couldn't hear nothing, and so I called in on my landline, and I still couldn't hear nothing. And then I saw all these numbers. I went to the switchboard, and I saw all the numbers. I'm like, okay, somebody is hosting. 880-9178. I was like, I don't know who that is.
That's me.
So, but anyway.
But I don't know. You couldn't hear me, and I couldn't hear you guys. I'm like, okay, what's going on here? And it kept
something.
Going in and out. Yeah.
But I've been doing this so long, I knew immediately what was wrong. And so what I did was called in. And since I have the switchboard, I opened my mic, opened Rebecca and Jackie's mic so they could go ahead on. You know, I love them. I know what it feels like when you suddenly find out that you're on. I know that feeling. And like like troopers, they just handled it. I mean, they just handled it. I'm like, look at them, Jesus. Look how they just handled it. Ain't nothing wrong.
They did. That's right. I love it. I love it. Just step right on in. I started to just go ahead and go on my birthday journey and just let them handle it. That's probably what I should have did because I wasn't no good here.
You could have taken off. Because once I saw what was going on, the Lord say, open up the studio. You know how this goes. You know how this thing works. It's disastrous.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Gosh, it's too much going on in your house. That's what's going on. Too much. Too many little people running around bossing you.
Right.
You
know.
Can't think. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I was, let me say hello to host Rebecca and to Jacqueline Vandegrift. I was with her pastor the other day. We was laughing and joking in the pulpit. But we was respectful, but we was laughing and joking. But I always have fun with him. So anyway, because he's a fun kind of guy. I was listening to them and I got a thought from Rebecca, and then I listened to you about Mr. Tim, and he reminds me so much of scriptures, you know, and it's only certain people you get to use this passage on when they pass away, and it's 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12, and I've heard you testify of it tonight. Lead a quiet life, mind your own business, work with your own hands, get the respect of those who are on the outside, and you won't be dependent on anybody, and that was his life. And then James tells us, don't just go to church and be a hearer of the word only, but be a doer. And see, when he passed away, testimony to what James said being true in his life comes from Acts chapter 9, where this lady named Dorcas or Tabitha, her name means gazelle, leaping and bounding, and she fit that name because it says about her that she was always doing kind things for others and helping the poor. So she was not only doing the kind things for others, but also helping the poor. She was leaping and bounding in that way. And the Bible, one of the strange things, right after it says that, and it says about that time she passed away. And I was like, wow. So Peter was hanging out over in... with a man named Aeneas, and this place where he was about 7 miles from Joppa where Dorcas lived. And when they heard that Peter was there and that, you know, God was doing miracles through him, they ran to get Peter because, you know, in the culture, they bury you real quick. And so Peter had to get there really quick. So he took the 7-mile trek with them, and they got back there. And what hits me is like what I heard you talking about, Tim, how you wanted to get up and say these things, but all these people were up and saying these things, right? And you said, wow, they've exhausted almost everything. And that is what happened when Peter arrived at Dorcas' house. All the people that she had done those things for and in front of ran straight to Peter, and they didn't moan about how she died and all of that. They talked about all the things that she had done for them. They were showing clothes she made for them, talking to him about all of the kindness that she had shown in her lifetime. And you mentioned it just a little while ago, Kathy, about using worldly wealth to gain treasure for yourself in heaven. And that's what he did. we use his time, talent, and treasures. Luke 6 and 9 talks about use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself. His friends showed up the other day and spoke well of him, right? So that you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. He didn't just go home to heaven and get there. He went home and heard Jesus say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You were faithful over the little bit I gave you. Now come, enter into your master's joy. I'm going to make you master over many things." And so Tim is an example to all of us to live that life. And that's not even my sermon. This is going to come from where Rebecca was talking about the community service or family support, community service resources, and these two right here, gifts and talents. Those two words right there, gifts and talents. Joseph had those gifts and talents. Those are two different things. Gifts come from God, as we find out in 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4. These are the gifts that Christ gave to the church so it could affect the will of God on earth, right? Through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us to work God's will on earth, right? But talents, everybody has talent. I mean, a lot of people who don't even know Jesus have talent, okay? Joseph had both of those. He was raised by his father, okay, in this dysfunctional family, all 12 of us, 13 of them, when you count Dina, his sister, or Dinah, some of people call her, okay? And we know about his family upbringing. He really didn't want Leah, but the deal that his crazy Uncle Laban worked with him, he ended up with Leah, and then Leah was having all kinds of kids, and the one that Jacob really loved, Rachel, who he worked 14 years for, a total of 21, she wasn't having any kids. And then finally she has some kids. She has Joseph, and then later on she has Benjamin. Okay, right off the bat, because of some things the other 10 kids were doing, like at Shechem, they went up there and told these people to get circumcised while they were sore. They went in and killed them. Okay, and they was led by Simeon and one of the others. And then one of the other brothers, Reuben, slept with Jacob's wife or handmaiden, Bila. And so he didn't feel them a whole lot. They were always into something. But he loved Rachel, and so Joseph became his favorite. Anyway, they all grew up in the same family, and they all learned the shepherding skills because that is what they were. Because if you remember when they went down to Egypt, Pharaoh said, what do they do? Joseph said, when he asked you, what do you do for a living, tell him you shepherds. That way they ended up over in the land of Goshen, the best land in Egypt, because the Egyptians detested shepherds. And so they put them over there, and Pharaoh hoped that maybe they were as magical as Joseph, and they could take care of his sheep, too, and make them prosper. And they did. But before all that happened, Joseph grew up, and Jacob taught him everything he knew, okay? And so he was a very talented young man, right? Because when he hits Egypt, he's going to be like 13 years old, right? Or he's going to be 17, stay there for 13 years in trouble, and then come to the top. But before we get there, it is the skills and talents that he had been taught, because his family was shepherds, so he learned how to corral sheep. He learned how to get sheep to increase. He learned how to shear sheep. He learned how to sell the sheepskin, or the sheep wool, so they could make money. They learned how to barter. He learned how to trade. He learned how to buy land when he saw his father buy land from the sons of Hamor. So he learned a lot of different skills and talents he developed while he was at home before he got sold into slavery by his brothers, who came from Leah. They really didn't like him, and Joseph is making him like he the Jacob, making him like he the firstborn son, gave him the coat of many colors, and just, you know, that caused a real horrible family dynamic, and they hated it. And so when they saw him coming and they knew he was going to snitch him out because they wasn't where they're supposed to be, plus they were eating some of the lambs they were supposed to be watching. And so they decided to kill him. But Judah came up with a plan. Let's don't kill him. Let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. Really, if you go back to Abraham, Ishmael, those are their cousins. But anyway, they sold him into slavery. He gets sold to Potiphar. Now those talents, the Bible says your gift will make room for you, right? Those talents are matching up with his gifts. Because to become who he became in Potiphar's house, he had to have the gift of service. He had to have the gift of help. And he most definitely had to have the gift of knowledge and the gift of administration. All these came from God. His talents came from how he was raised and what he learned while he was growing up. And so these two came together and worked for him in Potiphar's house until he became the head of Potiphar's house. Potiphar didn't even know what was in his own house. Only Joseph did. He relied on Joseph that much. God raised him up with his talents and gifts that much. But his wife got enamored with him. I'll just say it like that. She liked him a lot, a whole lot. And so he wouldn't do what she wanted to do because he couldn't do his God like that. And how could he treat his master like that who had put him in charge of everything? Couldn't do it. And so he wouldn't sleep with her. Well, the Bible says, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. And she became a woman scorned and embarrassed and ashamed. And so when she made one more attempt to sleep with him, he still wouldn't. He ran out but left his coat behind. She's so embarrassed. She tell her husband, he tried to rape me. He is the attorney general, the chief guard for Pharaoh. That today would be an attorney general. He has Joseph thrown in prison. So now his nice little cushy job is gone. And now he's going to spend 13 years in prison for nothing but doing a good job and being honorable and having integrity. Well, God was with him, and his gifts and his talents show up again. And once again, he becomes the warden's assistant, and now he's, in effect, running the prison. The accounts are going out to the attorney general, Potiphar, who put him in there, okay? The reports are going out to him that the prison is running smoothly and better than it ever ran, and it's costing us less to run it, and we're getting more out of it. His gifts and his talents are following him again, and God is with him. And once again, promotion, right to the top. But then two people get thrown in jail. One is a cupbearer, one is a baker. Pharaoh done went crazy. He accusing people of stealing things. Something went wrong. These two seem like the ones who did it. So they asked Joseph, because they both had dreams, can you interpret our dreams? Now, Joseph has the gift to interpret dreams. And Joseph tells them this is not something he does, but this is a gift from God. This is not his talent. This is his gift from God that he's about to display now. And so he interprets both their dreams. Both of them are about 3 days, and both of them have an ending but not the same. The cupbearer, he would once again squeeze grapes into the cup and give it to Pharaoh. But the baker, not so much. He would have his head cut off. And so they both get out, just like Joseph said, in 3 days. And the baker got his head cut off, and the cupbearer went right back to his job. 2 more years go by. Joseph still languishing in prison. He tells them, remember me when you get back upstairs where Pharaoh at, that I'm down here for nothing. But they forget it. So anyway, Pharaoh has a dream now. And nobody can interpret it. But the cupbearer, because they're all going to die if somebody don't interpret Pharaoh's dream, suddenly he remembers Joseph, who interpreted his dream. Tells Pharaoh about Joseph. Joseph's getting washed up, brought up there before Pharaoh, interprets Pharaoh's dreams. And then we pick it up in verse 41, chapter 41, and at verse 37. Joseph's suggestions, because he has suggested to Pharaoh what to do about the problem that he just told him. You know, Pharaoh had two dreams. They're both the same. One was cows, okay, that was nice and fat, but then some skinny cows came up, ate them up. And then was some corn, big giant ears of corn, and then some old raggedy corn came up, ate it up. Okay. Joseph tells him both of those dreams are one and the same. God is showing you the future. There's going to be 7 good years followed by 7 bad years. God wants you to prepare for that. And so here's where we pick up. Joseph's suggestions were all received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone like this man so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or as wise as you. No one is gifted and talented like you. You will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on my throne, will have rank higher than yours. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand and placed it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in fine linen clothing and hung a gold chain around his neck, bigger than the 1-2 chain, beware. Then he had Joseph ride in the chariot reserved for his second in command. And wherever Joseph went, the command was shouted, kneel down. So Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of all Egypt, and Joseph said to him, and Pharaoh said to him, I am Pharaoh, but no one will lift a hand or foot in the entire land of Egypt without your approval. Then Pharaoh gave Joseph a new name, Zaphnath-Phaneah. He also gave him, which means savior, he also gave him a wife whose name was Asenath. She was the daughter of Potipherah, the priest of On. So Joseph took charge of the entire land of Egypt. Now, here's what you want to hear. He was 30 years old when he began serving in the court of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And he went. And when Joseph left Pharaoh's presence, he inspected the entire land of Egypt. He was 30 years old. His gifts and his talents that God gave him, like God gives. Now, people have gifts when they get saved. They were born with talents. But if you want those talents to be supercharged, you need them gifts. Jacob, when he got Esau to sell him his birthright, to become the firstborn, to get a double portion when your father dies, right? You become the head of the clan, right? But that birthright was nothing without the blessing. And so Jacob has to go back and run the ruse to get the blessing from his father so that he could become all that God knew he would become, because even at their birth, God said that the elder shall serve the younger. Your gifts, your talents in the hands of God can take you from zero to wherever. Joseph went from being the little impetuous young man with a big mouth and run his mouth and snitch out everybody with his little coat of many colors, who gets sold into slavery, who gets a sweet job in Potiphar's house, because he won't sleep with the wife, he gets to go to prison for 13 years. In the 11th year, some glimmer of light appears with the butcher and the cupbearer and the baker. But then they forget about him for 2 more years, and he languished 2 more years in that prison, running it, but in it. And all of a sudden, overnight, his gifts and his talents are about to come together and make him prime minister of Egypt. You know, I used to tell my Sunday school students, not my Sunday school students, but the class that God gave me to teach at First Baptist Church in E-Course, I used to tell them, you know, look, you need to learn this because God's not just going to make every one of you a Bible class teacher. Some of you might not become deacons. Okay, you might not be a preacher. You might not even, you know, you won't work in the church. God might need you to run Egypt. God might need you to be Barack Obama, become president of the United States. He needs to have control of you so he can have control of it. Okay? So don't, I remember the company that I worked for that led me into creating my own business that I ran for 25 years and then sold at the end of it. The man who ran that giant corporation was a Christian, and you could tell it, because it was scattered throughout all the paperwork. And in most companies, you can't take your religion to church to work. But in this one, I was seeing it all over the place. And so I did some inquiry and some research and found out that the man who was the CEO, who had the most shares in the company, was a Christian. And he was not even really subliminally trying to reach people for Jesus. He was blatantly, boldly trying to do it. So he went to school and he learned business and became good at it. But then he didn't forget his God. That's what God told the children of Israel. He said, when you come into the land that I'm giving you, okay, you're going to get houses you didn't build. You're going to get wells you didn't dig. You're going to get vineyards you didn't plant. You're going to get farms you didn't do nothing to have. Okay? Don't forget me. It is the Lord who gives you power to get wealth. And we just saw that with Joseph. The Lord gave him power to become super wealthy. Almost seeming, it was, we know it was 13 years in the making. But can you imagine when those guards ran into his cell and snatched him up and started washing him up and getting him prepared to go before Pharaoh? Can you imagine several hours later from that time, you're the prime minister of the country that just had you in jail for 13 years for nothing? Those gifts, those talents, this preparation that Bring Back the Family is talking about, that we should help every single child we can, like they're going to be Martin Luther King, like they're going to be Andrew Young, they're going to be Reverend Jesse Jackson, they're going to be Reverend Al Sharpton, they're going to be Medgar Evers, they're going to be somebody that's going to make life better, not just for us, but for all of us. In Luke 6:19, it says, use worldly wealth, gifts and talents, okay, time, talent, and treasure to make friends for yourselves. That means like Dorcas did, made friends for herself. So when she was gone, she was welcomed into eternal dwellings, welcomed. Amen. Working with Bring Back the Family, making this effort to bring back what God started in Genesis, that'll get you some wealth in heaven. That'll get you some welcome when you get there. That'll get you to hear Jesus say, well done. Not, hey, how you doing? Glad you're here. Hey, amen. Yeah, you made it. You made it.
Yes.
You're a little smoky there.
Yes.
A little, smell like a little smoke, but you made it.
Yes, it was good. So good. Yeah, I like that. Well done, good and faithful servant. I love that. Yeah. You can say well done at the end of life. You're good. And so I just salute Mr. Tim and all his contributions and trying to make this world a better place for all the people around him, the youth, and just had them right at the forefront of his life, you know, and just love the kids and all his nieces and nephews that he talked about all the time so fondly, and, you know, his sisters and brothers, Melanie and Chris and Michael and just family. He had lots of family. They came far and wide to see him off and give him a beautiful send-off. And, man, that's my brother. Yeah, so we just thank God for his life. Thanks, Pastor O. Always, everything that you know we talked about is always connected with a story in the Bible. And I love that Dorcas and what she was to the community and you know, connecting that with,
when Jesus was giving me that, I'm like, Lord, this is a whole sermon right here. You're going to have to really help me to move past that, because this is a whole sermon. Dorcas, when you read about that lady, you know, her name could easily be Kathy. Her name could easily be Rebecca. Her name could easily be, I mean, you just think about it. I mean, when you read about her, that's, and see, she funded her own thing. She was rich because they had her home going in the upper room in her house. Most of them lived in a 10 by 10 or a 12 by 12 room, utility room. Everything was there. And then there was the roof where, you know, the men would mostly go at night to sleep on the roof to be cooler. But she had a house where she could have her home going in her house, which tells us that she wasn't Jewish, because Jewish women couldn't own property. Okay, and so she was Greek, and she owned her own, like Lydia. She had her own houses, and so, but she spent all her time after she got saved doing good and helping the poor, and all the people in the community knew it. And when Peter showed up, they just ran up to him and said, "This is what Dorcas did." That's it. She wasn't there to do that for herself. But let the works that I've done speak for me.
Wow, the helps ministry. I love that. Yeah. Oh, your boy.
Big
time. Well,
put it like this. Jesus put her in the Bible.
Wow.
He wanted generations to know that. He wanted generations to know about Dorcas and that widow with the two mites. He wanted people to know.
Some beautiful to live by, that's for sure. Okay, well, we just thank you. Thank you once again. Thank you, Jackie, and thank you, Rebecca, and thank you all the listeners that tuned in today. I hope you guys got something out of this, and you know someone that's going to school, going to college, and needs some funds to do this 100 scholarship, fill out 100 scholarships, you're bound to get money to do what you need to do to pay your tuition, your books, and things like that, okay? We got a lot more things coming up. We're going to bring it to the Bring Back the Family show. You know, this show is about family. It's about helping. It's about love. It's about it's about the youth and just giving something back to the next generation so that they can live and be comfortable and raise families and just be good, productive citizens. So that's our thing. That's our job. That's what we were given. And so we have to make a way for the youth. We have to make a way for the next generation. And That's what we're about here on Bring Back the Family. Okay? So, if all minds are clear and any announcements that needs to be made, I enjoyed my birthday. Thanks, everybody, for all my birthday wishes and all my gifts and just all the love and all of that. Yeah. And, you know, we should love each other every day, every day, every day, because you just never know when the last day is going to be. Yeah. We should love people while they're here, appreciate them while they're here, and help them while they're here. You know, we only go this way one time, and so why not give your all to everything that we have? Give your all. Yeah, God owns it all. He provides it all. And so whatever we need, he's going to have it for us. So just be a giver. Help. Help. Okay. Right. Tomorrow, Saturday, if you don't have a church to go to, we have a Runner for Christ Ministries tomorrow at 9 o'clock Saturday school, and then 10 o'clock church service, the same phone number that you dial in on, the same number, and it's 9 o'clock and Saturday school and 10 o'clock worship service. Is Sarah preaching tomorrow?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, Sarah Tate preaching. It's Youth Saturday. Youth Saturday. And our youth will be presiding and doing the prayer and the opening scripture and all of that. Got to train those youth up, because they're going to be where we are one day. They're the next ones to take over. They're the next ones that's going to be sitting in these pews, the next ones that's going to be leading these choirs, the next ones that's going to be doing Bring Back the Family. They're the next ones, so we have to prepare them. So they're going to be doing these broadcasts. They're going to be the next preachers and ministers and members. They're the next ones, so we have to prepare them. So we're going to they're going to be the presiders tomorrow. And so on. So tomorrow at 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock, same number. And then Sunday, Jonathan Tate, and we're at the River Ridge High School, 9 o'clock Sunday school, and then 10 o'clock worship service. Did I get it, Pastor? And that's Love for Christ Ministries at the River Ridge High School.
Got it all.
Okay, great, great, great. Okay, so we want to thank everybody for listening. Anything else?
No, I'm good.
Okay. So we will see you next Friday, same time, same place. We're going to have all these little issues taken care of. I don't know what happened, but hey, it happened. And like he said, we had some good backup going, and they carried on the way they're supposed to. And I just thank God for that. Okay. So, Pastor, you can give us a good song to go out on, work to do. We are the children. We are the world. Love, whatever. About love sometimes. It's your choice.
All right. Yeah, I like
that. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank God for Mr. Trump. Love him.
Big family and the truth, you know, love is. Wow.